Welcome to the Joe Cohen Show. Join me as I share my experience with biohacking and invite top health experts to explore the latest technology, supplements, research, and resources for optimizing your body and brain.
Hello, everybody. This is a roundtable discussion that we have from AWO in Chennai, India. We have Joe Cohen. We have Sim Land. We have Mr. Tim Gray over there. And we have just been having some tests here. Joe and Sim have been here before at this phenomenal facility where we're having all sorts of tests. Should we go through those tests? Some of them, we've got the VO2 max, we've got the blood full test. Scan MRI, full blood markers, gut microbiome test, eyesight test, skin test,
food sensitivity test,
amino acids.
The 181 blood test you mentioned.
181, yeah. Postural test.
Full body MRI, chest x-ray, full scan.
Vector scan,
the full shebang,
hearing, vision, any kind of specialist.
So it's all under one roof. You know, you would pay in the US is about $25,000, $30,000, I think, for all these tests.
Minimum,
roughly.
A lot more.
Yeah. And people are paying like how much here?
$6,000.
And that's including the accommodation.
The hotel and all the five-star food.
Yeah.
Plus supplements.
Plus some supplements, yeah.
There you go.
And pharmaceuticals, if you need, we hand it out rapamycin.
Yeah, the Milky Bar kid has just handed out rapamycin here. Yeah, so this is the perfect facility
of
if you want to.
Of course, with a doctor's prescription.
Yeah. Tell them to the airport.
Yeah, you got to fly out now with all
they give you. They'll give you a prescription.
Oh, then there you go. Cool. Yeah, so if you really want to look at all the markers to optimize your health or see if you have any deficiencies in any way, shape, or form, this is a place where you go for your full body MOT.
I've got to be honest, I didn't realize how good it was going to be before I came along. Because Tim and Joe were talking about it for so long. But I came and, the food, far better than I thought. 360 of the health, even scans of your balls. And even body sculpting and facials and everything. It's just so much more than it.
Yeah, DEXA scan, you got the flotation, sensory deprivation tank. And then you've got the spa treatments. You got gym.
Sauna,
deep tissue massage,
massages. You should get those if you haven't. I got some.
You keep telling me you should have this done. You should have that done. I'm leaving tomorrow.
Yeah, you got it. So that's why originally he proposed it as like maybe a 5-day or a 7-day. I said, nobody's going to be able to do this in 5 days. It's not possible.
Yeah, it isn't.
You can't. Just all the consultations, specialists, this, that, going through people's results. And it's 1 week of 5-star luxury living plus all the testing that you can do, and you don't really have time for much else.
Yeah.
The best thing is you do it here and you're pretty much, you don't have to do any other tests for the next year as an average non-extreme biohacker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you come back just to see from that quantification based on the suggestions that they give you, if you are actually improving and going in the right direction, which is good. They give you some feedback. They give you some advice on what you should work on, what you shouldn't work on. Or for instance, if they see a possible cyst in your kidney, okay, now when we do the full body scan, we're going to focus in on that area or your gallbladder or whatever.
If anyone has any kind of cancer markers, they could do full cancer screening. Yeah. There's more tests you could do. They have that GRAIL blood test where you can look at cancer cells in the body. I've done that and the whole body MRI and certain scans. You could speak to specialists. You can see if there's if you need to go further in any direction. There was a bunch of people I brought already that got surgeries here. A lot of them, one guy had an eye surgery. It was like two people that had no surgeries because there was a problem with their nasal passage. Something, it was clogged by different polyps or whatever it was. People got in sleep studies here. They got things to do about. They had sleep apnea. It's very common. It's here in wherever. U.S., are you going to get a sleep study done by you? Probably not, unless you're like really gung-ho. Yeah, they come to your hotel room, bam, it's done.
Yeah, you usually have to be referred by a doctor to go and have a sleep study done to see if you got sleep apnea. But here, of course, they just come to your hotel room. One of the things that I came here mostly for the full body MRI, and that's what my wife wanted as well, because like cancer does run in a family. What were the main things that you wanted from here?
I personally like the 250 blood biomarkers the most. And then I'll do a DEXA scan. Like this strip, I did a DEXA. And that's important because 6 months ago, I had a six pack. I looked great, but my visceral fat was actually a little higher than average. And I think it has to do somewhat with genetics. I put on visceral fat a lot easier than I put on abdominal fat or subcutaneous fat. And so I could look very thin, but if I put on fat, the first thing that I put on fat is my visceral fat. And that's a genetic predisposition. I have a high risk for visceral fat. So that's for me. For a guy like me, you actually need a DEXA scan in order to see how is my visceral fat doing. And I made changes because of that. And part, like, I reduced fructose, I reduced my calorie consumption a little bit, and then it went down dramatically. And now it's very good, ideal. So it matches my outside.
And that was within 6 months.
Yeah, within six
months.
Just
very small dietary changes. And
Correct. And I knew, okay, it's probably going to be good, or it's probably going to be better, because I just felt that I'm taking in less fructose. And the fructose was coming from fruit and honey. Nothing huge or anything like that, but you reduce it by half, it had a huge impact. And you could see those results very clearly in the DEXA scan, the visceral fat mass area, centimeter squared. So it should be under 100. Before it was 113, now it's 73. That's a 35% decline. So that's a very significant decline, and you want your visceral fat to be low. So that DEXA scan was just one thing. And then what I'd like to do is as many blood tests I can do, because I can't do them where I am. And I can't do them as often, like it would be too expensive. And to know if what I'm doing is working, I need to take a lot of blood tests. And then personally, I also do the epigenetic test to see like a full picture. So the true diagnostic one, they do it here as well. And because then I'm going to get on that leaderboard after this one. But essentially, like, I want to know, I'm taking 150 supplements. Everything I take is for a reason, to optimize the marker. And so I need to know that what I'm doing is working. And it turns out that my lab markers all have improved based on these supplements that I'm taking. If I didn't do these labs, I'd just feel like I'm going overboard. It's crazy, whatever. But because I'm doing these labs, I can see very clearly, are these markers going in the range of lowest all-cause mortality? And this is the first time that all of my markers, every single one, was in the lowest all-cause mortality range. And so I could see that very clearly.
It's funny because a lot of people would say taking that amount of supplements would have some sort of conflicting effect on your digestive system. Are they mostly in caps or powders?
Both.
Or both.
So about half.
And do you take a lot of them all at once, or you space them?
I space them.
Making sure that they're not counteracting each
other. So I have four shakes in the day, three of them with supplements mainly. I'll have a morning one, afternoon, night one. And then I also have three capsules, three stacks, morning, afternoon, night. They'll often go together, but sometimes not. So it could be I'm taking it six times in different times, but usually they'll go together. When I take the shakes, I'll take also the supplement.
So let me ask you this one as well. Do you actually have them all in separate containers?
Absolutely.
That you're unscrewing? Have them like in a fishing tackle box?
No way.
Anything like that? So it has to take you like 15 minutes just to get each one out.
No, it's in one box. So it's in one section. I just roll out.
Right. Got
and
it.
And I can swallow them pretty quickly. And then the shake doesn't take a lot of time.
Yeah.
It's just, and what I do is I prepare 30 days in advance.
That's what I do. That's what I was asking.
Mm-hmm. Would it be possible to get 1 megapill?
It'd be like an ostrich egg.
So my only concern about mega pills, some formulas, mainly the ones I created, because those are the ones I know that I'm going to take long term. So like Joe's Mood Daily, that has like 10, 15 different ingredients, that's fine. But most of the time, I'm very cautious about that, because if a lab marker shows that I should stop taking something or I should take some more of something, it becomes impossible to control the dosages of everything you're doing. It's just like too unreasonable. I'm taking 30 milligrams of this and this powder, and now I'm going to have to add 10 milligrams here. And so because I'm changing it around pretty frequently, I like to have it, you know, that I can control each ingredient, even each B vitamin. I look at my blood test. I don't take any more. I stop with a B complex just because if you take any B supplement, like Tim's, your B12 was super high. You're not even taking a B12 supplement. So this is very person dependent, whereas most people, I would say, have low B vitamin B12, they're not supplementing. And so you could see the variation is massive. To somebody who doesn't, it could be 10x. And so for me, I have to know, where do mine fall? You don't want to be too high in any B vitamin, You don't want it to be low. So every single B vitamin I titrate. Me personally, I need more thymine. I need more niacin, nicotinic acid. I need more B12, I'm usually pretty good at. And then I need more folate, methylfolate, and B6. I titrate each vitamin. And if I just have a B complex, it becomes too complex.
And what about you, Sim? What did you want from this mostly? Or is it just a blanket approach of everything and you come back a few months later and quantify it?
Yeah, I didn't have anything special that I wanted to do. I did the MRI last time. That was a good one. I have also some cancer in my family. I did the blood test, I did the exoscan, the VO2max test, some ultrasound, some, yeah, those kind of simple tests. And I guess, yeah, the most interesting was, yeah, like the blood test and maybe the exoscan and VO2max test.
Mm. How was your VO2max?
The last time I did it, it was 66, which is really good. This time I got 51, but I stopped beforehand because I was feeling a bit tired from the sleep loss. I'm going to do it tomorrow again, or maybe on Sunday, or early.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I stopped because they said it's only 15 minutes. So when I got to 15 minutes, I tapped the guy. I'm like, I'm done. And then they said, no, you could have carried on.
Last time I went like 19 minutes. So that's why I kept climbing. So I didn't reach the VO2max within the 15 minutes. So I kept going. And that's why And this time I stopped around like 13.
Got it.
So yeah.
So you just got to find that sweet spot. Are you going to do the VO2max, Tim?
Yes, for sure.
That's tomorrow.
Maybe. The VO2max is one of the best indicators. Yeah. It's not the best one. Better than anything else out there.
I've done it since 2018.
But yeah, 2017 is a person.
I'm bored seeing what my results are nowadays because I'm in a better shape.
It can change drastically from a few months. Mm-hmm.
So what about you? What was the main reason you came here for, Tim? Other than the food?
And the facial.
and the facial. Other than me.
But yeah, of course, just to see Joe, actually. My main reason, I think, the thing that convinced me most was the full body MRI, to be quite honest, because I've had MRIs like head and neck and various other things. But to see a full body MRI, I think it's pretty special. It's quite difficult to get in the UK, and it's very costly if you do get it. That's
how much does it cost in the UK?
Well, it's quite a few thousand.
Pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a couple of grand in the US.
10% of the dollars.
That's it?
Yes. So it's quite expensive to get that done. And when you haven't really got anything particular that you know that's going on, it's actually
not worth
it. Yeah. And when you do like biohacking and stuff a lot too, you can spend a lot of money everywhere on this stuff. Those tickets. So that was the clincher, I guess, for me. I liked that there's 180 odd biomarkers tested, which is great as well, because I often get blood works done frequently in London, like probably every week, every other week, something like this. But not necessarily the full spectrum of what we had here, and also food sensitivities. Those are really my main things. Everything else, I wasn't aware of the level of detail or, let's say, the full 360 of what the service offered, actually. And I wasn't even sure about if food was included until I asked him a week before, let alone what food was included. And I think for some people that try to be super healthy and cheat from time to time, but eat healthy 95% of the time, coming away to India or to another country where you're not sure of food sources, the quality of it, or what you're going to be eating, knowing that the food is of such a high standard here specifically, that there's nothing to worry about and you can pick exactly what you want. So I think that's an assurance, probably more important than the supplements I would bring with me or some of the things that I do here is the food quality.
And what is pretty cool as well is that based on your blood work, and your results, they will actually give you supplements at the end of your stage. So there you go. It can help with some of the deficiencies that you've got. And what was the first day that we were here that we got woke like 7 o'clock in the morning, they came into the hotel room. They've got an ice bucket basically that you put your feet in. That's supposed to help with like endorphins, dopamine. And then you do the breath work into the tube that is supposed to help with your blood pressure, correct? Yeah. So there's a lot of like butler services that you have. You don't even have to leave your hotel room, which is pretty cool.
They came to my room in the morning. I asked them to come at 8 o'clock because it's faster. It's faster blood test. And they came to the room, did the blood draw right there and then. Fantastic.
Yeah. That's exactly what they did with us this morning too.
Had IV in the room as well and stuff. So it's a pretty tailored. I'm going to be bored to my IV tomorrow, to be honest, because after my results coming in, I think what they're going to give me.
What kind of IV?
I'm waiting to find out.
Okay.
I would like vitamin C and glutathione in there regardless. So they said that they're going to tailor it.
So what are you guys planning on actually with the quantification? Of course, we quantify a lot of things, whether it be CGM, whether it be your sleep scores or anything like that. Now, with this quantification, of course, it requires a little bit more travel. It's not something that you wear. Are you guys like willing to come back now every 6 months or so to look at your scores to see how that quantification is going?
I do already.
Yeah.
So this is my sixth time.
Sixth time? Yeah, no way. I had no idea.
Yeah. So I've been coming for a while before even the program was launched, and I helped design the program a little bit. But I just find that there's no way I could do this testing where I am in Tel Aviv. And if I want to see if things are working, I have hypothesis. Like, for example, most recently, I looked at markers of sulfur in the body. Sulfur is very important for collagen synthesis. And my level of cysteine and my level of methionine and my DHEA sulfate were low. All indicators that I need more sulfur. Now, there's no clear, very clear clinical trials that show that if I increase sulfur, then those are going to go up. But I did that, and they all either doubled, tripled, or my cysteine went up by 8x. It clearly worked, right? And I take it so many times that I know it's not a fluke. I've taken the amino acid test 4 times now, and I'm going to take it again when I leave. The last time I was here, I took it 3 times. To make sure, because I want to make sure that these are actually stable, and then I can see very clearly when I do something, it moves without trying things individually. It becomes like, oh, it's interesting. So if like certain amino acids were low, histidine, arginine, I just increased those amino acids. Proline, I started taking AKG because that also can help increase proline. Just went up
all of them,
and so it's very cool to see. I do this result that I want to. My goal, it gets achieved. And all of my results, my homocysteine went down. So I could see based on what I'm doing, am I doing things correctly? Is this working? And if yes, then I know very clearly.
Yeah, I'm totally coming back. Second time, probably going back July, maybe later November or something like that. But yeah, it's just, you come here, you do the tests, and you don't have to like worry about it at home because you can get everything done here all in one place.
And, that's the thing. You don't have to go to so many different spots to get it done, which is usually what you have to do.
Yeah. And yeah, just the experience itself is also just so good. Loving it. If you're having loads of tests at home and it's not insurance covered and all of this stuff, it all adds up very quickly. Even though people say, oh, it's quite expensive, can't afford to do that. If you look over the year, how much you actually spend on all of this stuff, I bet over the year you're spending close to what this would cost and you get so much more for it.
Yeah, included the travel as well. Mm. That's why a lot of people fly to India to have dental work, to see doctors, have, like you said, surgery.
Yeah, this is my first time, obviously. These two convinced me that it's something I should definitely try. And I'd like to come back again, for sure. Food, if not for anything else. The sea bus.
Usually you do have to go to one place, then the other. Where here, everything cross-pollinates. So for instance, if they find something that's happening with your gallbladder or your liver or your kidney, they're like, okay, when we do the ultrasound or the full body scan, we're going to focus in that area. And everybody kind of talks to each other. And you go through people's blood reports and say, maybe you should focus on doing this, that, the other while you're here, which really helps. We are not going to have the communication between the specialists, the doctors, the practitioners amongst themselves because they're all in different places. So having that cross-pollination is obviously a huge advantage.
The other thing, one thing I'd like to jump in is I went for my eye test today and they actually have this outside of the house. They don't have it in the clinic itself. The driver from the lab, from the clinic, picks you up. They take you over. You have a nurse go with you. They walk you straight in. You jump to the front of the queue.
Yeah.
You go and have your eye test. You go, bomb, walk back out. It's almost like being a celebrity. And hundreds of people in the opticians.
You are a celebrity.
Yeah.
It was actually such a good white glove service. It was ridiculous.
That's the same when you go for the MRI as well, the ultrasound. You're going to a hospital, but you jump the queue, which is a little bit unfortunate because I had Mr. Bean in the waiting room. I was like, I really want to watch this episode, but I get thrown to the front.
But yeah, there's no time really that like when you're home and you're working, you're not taking that week. Mm. You're just focused on your health. Here, it's okay. I do a little work here and there, a couple hours, but 90% of the day is focused on my health. And because I'm also here with participants, I also spend a lot of time helping people. But for the people that are here, when I was here just as a patient, just 100% boom, And that was incredible because you don't take the time to do that.
And yeah, like for the participants, it's like, fortunately, you get the medical doctors helping you interpret the tests and guiding through what you need to do. You got physiotherapists, physical or fitness trainers, and you got us here as well giving comments or some other recommendations. Yeah, it's for the person who comes here. I haven't heard anyone say anything bad about this experience.
Everybody
from the,
has,
from the previous one, yeah. No one said anything bad or loves it.
Everyone for me as well had great. And nobody even said it wasn't great. Everybody really liked it.
They said 9 or 10 out of 10.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a perfect opportunity for people to mingle with you guys as well at the dinners, at the lunches, at the breakfast, where they get a little bit of one-on-one time and maybe they're going to be become clients as well because they want to optimize their health for the future. So you got all sorts of people. People are dealing with a woman who came up from Mumbai on the same flight as me, dealing with mold toxicity, even though she's got a book on how to optimize health. She still needs to optimize her own health. And this is a perfect place for it. But you got people from all around the world here. I know there's people here from Dallas that I was speaking to, people from Spain, people from everywhere.
I think what I want to do for the next batch, and I think this is really cool, I want to have all the supplements, and they're already doing the treatments, the saunas and all that stuff, the physical therapy and that and exercise. What I want to have is all the supplements ready to go so that right when we get the results, we can figure out exactly what somebody needs. And then we take a test at the end of it and see, you could then see how all these things are improving or not improving. Mm. And you could see if it's working, but I'm like, based on myself and other people, I know it works.
So what would it be, like a 7-8 day gap between that first test and the second one?
Yeah, but all these tests can change pretty dramatically. And I know based on my own results, I test all these things pretty frequently. I come here every 3-4 months.
And you'll test sometimes 2 or 3 times during the time that you're
They
here.
Change pretty dramatically, but for reasons. So, for example, if my body's fighting an infection, I'll see a bunch of tests change. And I know exactly what to look for now. For example, the best indicator you're fighting an infection is low iron, low serum iron. You have low serum iron, I'm fighting an infection. That's it's known in the research that's what happened. But you could just see very clearly how each marker is changing. If you have inflammation, I see a whole bunch of markers changing, some tumor markers, some cystatin C, just a whole bunch of different markers. Homocysteine will go up. And this is very clear in the research as well, because your body uses methylation when it's fighting an infection, when you're exercising. So it increases the methylation demand. But so number one is you need more than one baseline test, because if you came and you have an infection, how do you know it's not just a fluke? Number two is, but you can see from the test if you're sick. There's some very clear markers, mainly serum iron. There's some clear markers, but if we can do, it needs to be set up properly, and we might need to extend it by a day just because there's not enough time in 7 days. It takes about a day and a half to get the results back, and we can start it on day 2 or 3 for 4 or 5 days and then take another test. You can see how all these results are changing in the optimal direction in that period. And that would be incredible. You could see very clearly in the test. And one of the things that I've always known this, but one of the things that's become very clear, and this is why I started a precision health company. So I've known this has been my philosophy for a long time, but the concept of there's one approach fits all for everybody is disproven by this program, because I can look at everybody's results here, which I've done. And I see for every result, you're weak in here, you're strong here. That's not the same case with this other person. Your homocysteine is very good. I think you probably have the lowest homocysteine here. And you work out, right? And working out a lot, you see based on how much muscle you're working out a lot. Working out a lot increases the methylation demand. And so when I work out, my homocysteine skyrockets. I have to take a lot of methyl supplements to bring it down. And so my body naturally, genetically, is not built for heavy exercise. My whole family is like that. Nobody exercises heavily, but I can overcome it with supplements and things like that. You don't need to take a lot of methyl supplements and you still have great homocysteine, right? So that's, which is different than everybody else here. They don't work out and their homocysteine is not as good as yours. So it's very clear that each person has their own kryptonite, their own weaknesses, and you need to find what that is for each person and then fix that. So there's no one size fits all if you took my protocol, it's got way too much methyl stuff for you. You don't need that. It's waste. So what do you think about that? That concept?
Yeah, I think it's great. If people are here long enough, because I know some people that came here a couple of days ago and they've already flown out. If they're here for that duration of time, of course, it's definitely relevant. But are there any other like modalities here that you think that are missing? For instance, I know we can get hyperbaric oxygen in most places, not everywhere. Here. Oh, it's got it here as well. There you go. It's got that as well. What about like a banya, like a communal sauna or something?
They have saunas.
Oh, really? So yeah, I've only been here a couple of days.
It's in the hotel.
Is there anything that they should have, like a banya? Is there anything else that you think that they could do with here that would make it the one-stop shop completely? They got everything.
Yeah, like they pretty much cover the most important things. Like, of course, you could have like regular therapy, blood flow restriction.
They have that. The problem is that's a continuous basis.
And that's at a lot of places.
And you have a home device. I don't think it would upgrade anything here.
Yeah, it's not going to improve the functional outcome.
I think the main thing is here is the things that you can't get at home. You can buy a red light device for $100, whatever it is, $300. You have it. It's something you have to use every day anyway.
If you have a PMF mat that you go to sleep on, you're not going to find any really relevance.
Honestly, they can get it here if somebody wanted it. It's not a big deal. Yeah. If you tell them, they'll get you.
Yeah.
Like PMF.
And the same with scans. Like last time with some guy, he wanted to get a PET scan and they had to drive into some other hospital. He had to wake up like 5 a.m. to go there in the morning and stuff like that. So if you want to have some tests that you don't have in this program specifically, then they'll get it. They'll get you to the facility where they do the tests. They'll be like whatever you want, so they'll pretty much be able to get.
So they don't have some of the functional medicine tests, but my main gripe with these tests, the ones that they don't have, is that there's no research on it. Or
such as what?
The organic acid test. There's not a lot of research on what a bunch of organic acids means. Now, the amino acid test has some of these organic acids, and those there's actually research. So whenever I research anything in that amino acid panel, which is like 36 markers or something, there's always research that comes up. So I know that every single marker means something. Those are the tests I like. I can look at the research. What does this result mean? What is all the research on this? Certain organic acids, there's not a lot of research. So yeah, if there's a test with a lot of research and they're not doing, they'll start doing it. They'll find a way to do it and get it for you here.
What do you think, Tim? Anything
the organic acids test, regardless of the
but there's research, not a lot of research.
I think on an individual basis, just to use your point, is in what you see that adjusts and then you see the result coming out, regardless of the research on it. For instance, my organic acids test when I was at the beginning of my journey, which before I knew what anything, to be quite honest, was insanely high on so many different markers, but mainly around obviously tartaric acid and arabinose and various other things. So fungal markers, basically, which was an early indication for me before I knew what methylation was, that there was something going on and that I had no vitamin C in my urine, basically. So my body was either sucking it up or I was deficient. So that led me on to realizing that I actually had gut issues as a result, and then looking specifically what to do to fix the gut. We then did a microbiome test and worked on the gut permeability and whatnot. And then I tried loads of antifungals and a whole protocol for mold and for anti-candida. And I went on the candida diet for 9 months solid. It was brutal. So I had never been on a diet before. Then all of a sudden I just cut out pretty much everything except for meat and veg. And when you're a newbie, walking into the supermarket and not being able to buy anything other than meat and veg is pretty depressing. But once you're a pro, it's normal. And I realized that actually the candida diet and all these antifungals did nothing for me. Absolutely nothing for me. And my levels stayed the same. But then I went keto and I went full keto for a year, full keto. That, for an extended period of time, actually was the only thing that got every single marker back into alignment.
Wow.
And obviously I do an organic acids test now twice a year. So while the research isn't there, I agree that it's not enough, but some of these individual markers are absolutely critical. So it's something that I think in this test could be beneficial, considering how many people we speak to that do have leaky gut or some form of gut inflammation, or for instance, low iron, like you talk about. Low iron is often gut issues, gut inflammation as a result. So having an organic acids test, looking at the full 360 of your urine, or pretty much, and then seeing if you've got
fungal markers, and then actually, yes, okay, let's look at the microbiome to see what deficient in there, and then work on that, and then fix the gut permeability. So I think that would be one nice addition for the average user. For me, it's a fundamental, one of my fundamental things. So as you're saying it, I get the research thing. I do completely. And we can't always just go off after everything, regardless of the research. But I think when it's indicative of where you were to where you are, I think it's worth
it. So I want to be clear about something. I'm not saying it doesn't work, right? I'm not saying there's sometimes where I think something bullshit and sometimes where I just think there's not enough evidence, which doesn't mean that it doesn't work. It's not true. My position with the organic acids test is that I don't think there's enough research, but I actually, because I'm open-minded, what I want to do is take it like 10 times, do a bunch of experiments with it, mainly because I need to understand, is this bullshit or not for myself, right? And everyone could always have different experiences, but for myself, I want to get more of a definitive picture, being okay, and see, and I'm going to do much more research once I see all my results. I'll be like, okay, this is marker is this. I'm going to try different supplements and see if I can change them. If nothing's changing or things aren't making sense, then I'm going to think it's not good, because also based on that and based on the lack of not enough research, but I'm open. That is my next thing. My main position is that I think too many people do these very advanced tests, and you're very advanced biohackers. It makes sense for you to do it, but most of these people are doing these very advanced tests where they're not getting an hsCRP homocysteine. They're like, some one of the participants is doing all these fancy tests. Yeah, I'm doing a cytokine stimulation analysis and this, that. I'm like, you're anemic. Until you fix your anemia, these tests are not going to be relevant, because they could all be messed up if you're anemic. And so I just think you got to go with the, for me, I want to master all the mainstream tests that has research, which I'm mastering over time. And then once I find, okay, I've mastered every single lab marker, I know, okay, you have this 0.0, this is exactly what we need to do, this is what it means, this is the lowest all-cause mortality, and we're doing that, and I'm pretty close to that. But once that's completely mastered, at that point, I'm going to be like, okay, now I want to just do an organic acid test.
I love your approach to testing, because I remember you once talking about your Wi-Fi run. I talk about EMF quite a lot. And for me, I'm hypersensitive to EMS, so I have to turn the Wi-Fi off at night, have to charge my phone in another room on airplane mode, have to sleep grounded, blah, 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 blah. And then you decided you wanted to test this. So you put the Wi-Fi router next to your bed and see if it's adjusted in your sleep in any way, and then turned it off and made sure it wasn't. I love the extreme approach. So I understand like doing it 10 times. Doing an organic acids test 10 times to see your baseline and to see what happens when you do this thing. So I love that approach. I always think it's such an extreme approach, but we need those extreme approaches to show us what is possible. Just like with Ben Greenfield, for instance, some of these crazy, really far out there biohacks that he does actually shows us or everyone what is possible.
And extends the knowledge.
Yeah. And I love that. I think just to circle back around on the organic acids test before I move on, is that, for instance, my glutathione level and my methylation from what they see from the urine was always very low. And by supplementing with glutathione, it didn't do anything for my excretion level. But working on my methylation, which obviously self-decode laid out for me of what I needed to do, and I worked with a practitioner as well, actually, by supplementing with methylfolate and trimethylglycine, in fact, my glutathione levels came up in excretion as a result. Whereas IV glutathione or supplementing didn't do anything. So I think there's things like that where the organic acids test is fantastic.
Like some people last time, they got a phone call before coming here with the team. Mm-hmm. And then based on the conversation, the team helped put together a program for them. So if they're a person who wants to come, they can ask, okay, I'd like to have the program already ready before I come. Then they can have a phone call.
That's a good idea.
And then
I like that.
They discuss, okay, what's your medical history, what's your tests you've done previously, what are the things you're interested in, and those kind of things. And then they put, at least some people last time who came with me, that they told that's what they did. They had a phone call before.
I love that idea. I mean, Zoom call. I had a rough itinerary when I got here of stuff to do. And then it's actually, I don't want to do that. I don't need to do that, but I would like to do that instead. But having that built out and then dropped into my calendar, because I've obviously got workload to do in between as well. And it's actually when someone comes and whisks you away at 8 a.m. in the morning, and you've actually got, yeah, and it's just actually, it doesn't quite. So I think the a call beforehand, more detailed one,
yeah,
and the menu to pick what you want, and then they can fit it together and give you a schedule for your 7 days. So I think that would be, and I think for the target client or the person that this is aimed at, it's the type of person that's either running their own business, is a CEO, a founder, or lives a super busy life and has a really busy schedule. So having that planned out front would be, I think, an elite service.
Mm. Carry on.
Cool. Even then, so if you're trying to, my own experience is if you want to do some tests, I didn't come with a scheduled program here. So I was like, okay, tomorrow I'll message a person who helps me out. Tomorrow I want to do the MRI or whatever. Tomorrow I want to do the VO2max. And they say, okay, let's do it tomorrow. Blah, 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 this time. So it's, even here, you can like very rapidly change the program as you wish, and maybe add tests or remove tests or whatever.
So that's the balance, is that it's more like on demand here. Whereas, and also the schedule, even if you have a schedule, could change because they might find something, or you might decide you want to do another test. So I'm the same as Sim. I'm just like, he mentioned the hearing test and the vision test. I'm like, I forgot about that.
But the other thing, the other side of that is that something that's quite charming is them saying, oh, let's do an eye test. Yeah, I didn't know about the eye test, for instance. I was like, actually, I've needed one. If I didn't know my eyes were deteriorating, and I would have just said no straight away. But because they say, we think you should do an eye test, I'm like, okay, fine. And then I find that I actually need glasses for reading, or need to do more yoga for my eyes to be able to read without glasses. I think there's things like that, and some of the postural alignment things that I would not have done because I think I've done it all.
Right.
But the point is, when they get you to do it and whisk you off and put you on this process, I think it's really quite nice, because it's like you find out some stuff you would never have found out, or you might have done by chance at some point.
Mm.
Same with the blood markers. Some of these blood markers I've never tested for, and I would never have thought to ask to test for some of these things. So it's really nice to see that I've got some work to do in some areas that I've been blind to before now.
Yeah, it's funny. We look at these things and we're like, we should be looking at it in equanimity, where it's like, okay, well, we've got everything that we need, really, but we always want to try to improve. That's just a human psyche. A couple of things that I would really like, because I'm going through all these scans and x-rays and MRIs, and like, I don't know how much radiation is here. I know I spoke to you about this. I think
MRI is completely fine. The only scan that you need, there's nothing to worry about. It was only scan. The only scan that you might need to worry about is the CT scan.
Yeah. And I've had
of your arteries. So they'll offer that service.
Yeah.
If you're high risk, then it could be useful. Mm-hmm. It's not a huge amount. Basically, you should get just millisieverts per year.
It's like 1 year background radiation.
Is 1 year. Yeah. Yeah, it's 1 year background radiation. It's something that
it's
I don't...
Luck. It's not luck, but it's like a little bit more.
I wouldn't recommend it to everybody. Let's put it that way. It's like, you want to think about that one. That's the only one. Otherwise, you don't...
Depends on your age and your risk factors, though. If you don't have any risk factors and you're young, you probably don't need...
Yeah. Regardless, like, I was making sure that I'm wearing my earthing shoes when I ground myself. And I was thinking, God, it'd be great to have an earthing mat or an earthing sheet in a room or whatnot. Of course, we're all on our phones, we're all after work, but I'd like to have certain areas which are actually Wi-Fi free or has got like an internet. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's taking it to the next level because we're staying in a Leela Palace hotel. It isn't necessary AWO, but maybe when you're at AWO, there are certain areas where it's just Wi-Fi free, or they have like depolarizers around, like the waveguard or something like that. Because I'm much more electrosensitive than a lot of people. It's just something that I'm conscious of, and I'd like to have that as a possibility.
All these things they can do if
they can get you a Faraday cage.
Yeah, Faraday cage to sleep in, four poster bed, that'd be great.
They can do, these are not like expensive stuff to do, to get a grounding mat or anything like that.
Yeah.
I think they probably should have a couple things on tap for people who want them.
When people come to London for the summit, they say, where can I go that I can have a full 360 pool works? Yeah. I'm like, here's 10 different places. Here's where you go for cryo. Here's where you go for banya and sauna or whatever. And here's where you go for IV. And it's just, oh my God, there's not one place that has it. And I think with this place, it does. It really does. And the thing that really takes me by surprise is the absolute quality. Because you would think, as someone from the UK or America that has, say, the best medical equipment and treatment and expertise, in fact, no, it's not like you would think. Far better quality, and they're far more astute than you might expect.
They're much efficient or more faster than the US. Like the medical quality and the medical treatment quality is like as good as in the other countries is.
Yeah, I really was surprised at that. And I think if you look at the Western world is actually being ruined with food, as we know. Mm-hmm. But you look at even the Chinese food that you eat here, it's significantly different. I know I'm going on about food again, but the point is it's significantly different to what we have in the UK. And our food, our Chinese food is stodgy and full of MSG and all the crap.
It's
and
all good the quality.
Yeah. Here, it's just like meat, proper seafood.
Grass fed.
Yeah, and I was like, told that the seafood here is one of the freshest and the best seafood in the whole of India.
The lobster is fantastic as well, and it's like on tap. Which is like in England, you would get a little piece of lobster like this. Yeah. And here, it's just,
I know.
I'll take another plate of that.
When I first got it, I was like, oh, you gave me crab. Oh, no, some prawn. That's a shrimp.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I guess one thing that I would improve, and it's not, I would be concerned, but because I know when we do it here, Stephen knows all the best doctors here, and he knows he's got the whole setup already done here. It's tried and tested. So I really like that. But, you know, experiencing different locations would be really good.
That's what they plan to do.
I know. So that's what they plan to do.
What? Expand?
To different locations.
In India.
Yeah, they're going to be.
No, also in, Goa. India is one thing, but he said that they also might do it in, like, Morocco, Mexico. But I would want to make sure that they have everything that they do here. But even different places in India would be cool, like Goa.
They're going to do Mumbai, probably. Like
Mumbai. That'd be awesome.
Because we flew through Mumbai.
That'd be awesome. There's definitely a market there because they're just opening some more biohacking clinics there. There's definitely starting to be a little bit more of a demand.
And there's a lot coming out of India right now, to be quite honest. There's a lot of good stuff coming out of India, for sure. For instance, the Ultra Human guys. There's one. The Human Ring, which is absolutely wipes the floor with Aura, which I love. I love that it like Aura was good, but
what's so good about that ring?
The Ultra Human, so it's a medically approved reader, so it's better quality in terms of reading the stats. It has you can integrate your Freestyle Libre glucose monitor into the app with the ring, so you can cross correlate data opposed to having to use two separate apps. I find that the accuracy is significantly better than the Aura. Yeah.
Okay. Looks like you're.
He looks very similar in many ways, but it's more refined and you can drill into detail much more on quite a few of the areas. I do like the simplicity of the Aura app. Like, for your home screen with Aura is better because it's just like readiness, sleep score, activity, all in one place. And you can see your heart rate variability and oxygenation very simply. Whereas in the Ultra Human, you have to dig into it. But the point is, this is, let's say,
blunt as well.
A startup.
Wow.
A startup from India that is actually wiping the floor with Aura.
How they telling you your markers here?
So in India, they're about to launch this overseas as well. They have something on there called Blood Vision, and they will actually come to you as well, take your blood, and then within 24 hours, other than your testosterone levels, you've got it uploaded, and then within about 5 days, you've got your testosterone on there as well. So that's all on the app as well. They came to my hotel room a couple of months ago and took my blood. So that's on there as well.
So they really do cover it from all angles. For instance, I have a WhatsApp group with the two founders. And whenever I got feedback, they say, yep, we get it done. Just literally get it done. I was like, oh, I like this. So, you know, it makes it so easy. And I think the accuracy is much better. The other thing it has over the Aura that I like is that each day you can use a swipe bar to tell it how you feel. So it can adjust based on your data. So it knows, for instance, if your heart rate variability is super high, but you might feel crap, it recalibrates to know that actually when your heart rate variability is super high, you might not be optimal for some reason, especially if you're a sympathetic dominant versus parasympathetic dominant.
Right.
So it's really, I love it for this reason. And my point was more that India is, and I keep on hearing this over and over again, how quickly India is moving up and taking a lot of space.
Yeah.
And I love that because it's so much more accessible here for us.
Mm. So the main thing they have is a sleep ring. It starts with a sleep ring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's basically, let's say Aura version 2, in my opinion, but more accurate. And because it's a medically approved.
Yeah,
so it's much, much more effective and efficient.
And that's it?
This is the Aura because at the moment, they're waiting to roll out an update to remove so you can put it in airplane mode. And when I first got it, one of the features I said is I needed to have airplane mode for the Bluetooth because Bluetooth interferes with my sleep. So I said to them, I'm not using it again until the Bluetooth is added back in. That's the one thing that the Aura has over the Ultra Human at the moment, but they're on it.
And they sell it in India or all over
the world? Worldwide. Yeah.
And it's actually smaller and it looks better. So yeah, so anyway. Lots of goods coming out of here, over here, and it's nice how they're advancing it when we can't even get a lab like it in London and pay $30,000 to $35,000 for the treatments.
Because the rent is so expensive, yeah, right?
You just can't get it. Yeah.
And I've been to Chennai many times, but it's always been for work. So I haven't checked out the area. But like I was even told by one of the people here that you know from that's living in Spain, that he said there's a beach here that you can go surfing on 30 minutes from here. You can actually surf.
Oh.
So it seems like you want to combine a bit of a holiday with a health optimization retreat, and you're good to go.
I found that now over probably 5 years of tracking my heart rate variability, it's a really almost perfect indicator for how I'm going to feel that day. But the learning I've had to go with that is that, because many people message me on Instagram or whatever and say, my heart rate variability is so low, how can I get it higher? I'm like, okay, so what is it? What is your baseline? What is your maximum and what is your average? Because I always set quote Sim, like Sim's maximum is like 290 or something or other, 300. And his average is like 120 to 150.
Your average is 120?
Yeah.
And whereas mine, my average is 34 and my maximum is 110. If someone with that level of heart rate variability has my level for a day or two, it's usually when they're sick.
Yeah, I've actually had that. My heart rate variability went to 25. One day I was thinking, what the heck? And the next day I got COVID.
So it's a really good indicator for that. But the thing to remember is that heart rate variability is you either have sympathetic dominant people or parasympathetic dominant type. So if you're generally a type A driven, stress driven person, pretty much the opposite of Sim in terms of stress, like Mr. Stoic 101. If you're one of the stressed, like all the time, and you're sympathetic dominant, then your heart rate variability generally is a lot lower. And if you're more of a chilled stoic type, then it's usually a lot higher. So I found that this is a really predicted, really great and for people with high or low, but the importance is always to remember your baseline, not this is low, this is high.
And what do you do for that?
I'll start with what's wrong. Alcohol. Because okay. For me, my average would be 10 heart rate variability and maximum would be like 18. So that's one. Eating late is another thing, especially if it's a fatty meal. Carbs, not so much. It doesn't really affect me so much. You'll see that it tanks. And then at about 4 o'clock in the morning, which funnily enough is 6 hours after sleep, 6 hours of processing, then my heart rate variability shoots up. So I found that alcohol is the big no, and it's probably the biggest reason why I stopped having alcohol more than 2 or 3 times a year is because of how detrimental it is to my heart rate variability. And if I drink, for instance, 2 or 3 days in a row, then I'll come down with a cold or flu or something. I know that I have immune things.
Is that like a lot of alcohol or you're just from about a couple of glasses of wine?
A couple of glasses of wine or a couple of Negronis. Whereas if I drink, for instance, during the day, not that I really do these days, like 10 pints by midday. No, but if I drink and finish at midday, depending on the amount, and if I take binders, then my heart rate variability is fine because the body processes the alcohol. That's what not to do. And what to do is obviously eat around sunset, not later. This is one of my biggest wins for heart rate variability. Number two, don't watch Netflix or play with your phone within an hour and a half or 2 hours of bed. And definitely don't watch any war movies or anything with killing in, because that taints my heart rate variability. It puts me into stress state and makes me want to run away from the war or whatever, and therefore my heart rate variability tanks. And the other one is exposure to LED flickering blue lights. Not so much just the blue light, because blue light exposure does affect me and wake me up a bit, but it's more specifically the flickering blue LED lights that actually tank my heart rate variability to almost zero. It's just ridiculous. When I changed my household lighting, the whole lighting around the whole house, I had non-flicker, full spectrum LED lighting, energy efficient, but very good brand, Ray Lighting in the UK. My heart rate variability changed overnight, literally overnight, from having full spectrum lighting. So those are some of the key things I would say. Incorporating breath work or box breathing before bed also helps, obviously. And also adding in trimethylglycine for me specifically is one of the big wins for my heart rate variability, as we discussed earlier. Those methyldones, I need them. My body soaks them up like crazy, and with 3 or 4 grams of trimethylglycine, it's just the dream.
How does the antihistamines mess with the heart rate variability?
I haven't looked to see what the antihistamine did for the heart rate variability, but for the sleep, it wiped me the fuck out. Two nights in a row.
My issue with the amount of harm
heart rate. I'm going to have a look right now. Heart rate variability. Yeah, it's pretty low, to be quite honest. Average 17, maximum 58, which is very low for me. But I did eat quite late last night. And if you look at the chart here, you see it's flat until six in the morning. So I would probably put that down to the late eating. And it was the same the night before.
And high fat.
Yeah, it was high fat, high protein.
It's not clear how much it has an impact. It does wipe you out. I think it's a useful tool when you're traveling, but not from every day. The meclizine, the reason I like the meclizine more than the diphenhydramine, which is Benadryl, essentially, is because it also has anti-aging effects, an mTOR inhibitor.
Like I said, I can mention the VO2max part right now. Like Joe said, this kind of umbrella marker for overall health and longevity. You don't need to have it crazy high. Based on the data, VO2max over 49 milliliters per kilogram per minute is already the maximum risk reduction, or at least they haven't tested it above 60 or something like that, but you want to have it at least 50 for whatever age group you are. Like, ideally, you want to have a VO2max that is 10 to 20 years younger than your chronological age for optimal longevity. Yeah, and the reason is that it just reflects how good is your body at utilizing oxygen during physical activity. And the thing is that if you have a high VO2max, then yeah, you have put in the work. It's not one of those markers that you can change like very easily. You have to have a lower body weight, or you're not be overweight, have general good glucose metabolism, fat metabolism. You have to be metabolically flexible. You have to have exercise quite significantly. So yeah, it's just a marker that you're like in good fitness and your heart is also like functioning quite well. That's why I think it's like one of the best like fitness markers.
Is there any correlation between heart rate variability and good VO2max?
I would assume so.
Yeah, if you would.
I would assume, yeah, but I haven't seen in specific. HRV, HRV is low stress, good fitness. I would imagine like low body weight as well. And daily step count is actually linearly associated with higher HRV. So like up to 16,000 steps a day, still is linked to higher HRV. So yeah.
Interesting.
Walking a lot and de-stressing. I find like a sauna is also good for the sauna and the cold, maybe alternating between there is like a good, like a exercise for the nervous system.
It's funny, I find that sauna, because it dehydrates me so much, I have hydration issues. Mm. It stresses my heart so much, my heart rate variability tanks. And I wake up with a migraine or a headache the next day, even if I hydrate like crazy. It's actually really something really interesting for me, with my heart rate variability is always...
I would do a blood test the day after. Meaning, I wonder if your electrolytes are potassium, sodium, chloride.
Well, potassium I'm generally low for.
It could be that you just, you stress that more. And so you're still like, whoa, you just stress more. You sweat a lot.
Ben Greenfield actually says the same, but a similar problem. He says that it's the phase angle test where you look at your excretion and the electricity through the cell. Based on hydration, it's a test that I really want to do. So I'm not sure if you've heard a phase angle test, but Ben talked about it in a podcast and I discussed it with him.
I think you can only get that in the US, Scott.
Yeah. It's quite difficult to get. Yeah. It's really, it's quite difficult to get. But that's a good hydration, true cellular hydration status test.
The reason why I talk about supplements a lot, just to be clear about this, because Tim mentioned he tries to focus on the biggest hitters, which I think is right for most people. A guy like me is already doing the big hitters. And if I'm not doing them, I'm not doing them for a reason. So, yeah, the big hitters, sleep, exercise, I'm doing those. And there's a few things that I don't do right. Let's say I go to sleep late because I want to do my acro yoga. So I have to make that trade-off. It's not like I have another option. It's so I have to make that decision. Do I want to social life with this kind of exercise? And the trade-off is later sleep. And so I try to hack around it. Yeah, so for a guy like me, I'm already doing all these basic stuff. So I try to get things that are in my diet is going to be the same. Like I already dialed that in, sleep, exercise. So all these things are already dialed in for the most part. There's not that much that I'm going to change here. So for me, I like these supplement packs because that's what could get you another 5% or something like that with just a given supplement. And for me, that's worth it. I don't mind swallowing pills or whatever. So for me, the latest supplement hack I mentioned was sulfur. It was very clear based on my tests that I was lacking sulfur, and because I was working out a lot, I started to become deficient on sulfur, which you burn a lot of sulfur from working out, and my recovery was worse. So in the beginning, when I started working out, it's fine because you can store sulfur for quite a bit. And then I've taken breaks for here and there. But then there was a period where I've been very consistent with working out, and I wasn't taking breaks. I was exercising a lot because I was trying to follow the Peter Attia approach of, okay, now I need to do stretching. Now I need to do cardio. Now I need to do mobility. Now I need to do strength training for working out. And I'm like, really? And I'm doing it consistently. I'm like, well, that's it. I'm super healthy now. And I started, it was like, all of a sudden I started to get tendon problems all over the place. So I was having all kinds, I started to get all kinds of injuries and pull certain plays. And I thought some of that is probably I'm not doing it correctly. I'm not an expert in working out. But I just start, at a certain point, I just started noticing one tendon at a time was hurting. I was like, okay, this is not an isolated injury. And it took me a while to figure that out, not an isolated injury. And so I realized, okay, so now let's look internally what's going on. And so something I realized, I need more collagen. So how do I do that? I looked at, okay, what are all the ways to increase collagen? What are all the methods to improve tendon injury? And I was doing everything already. With one thing left, I was taking 120 grams of collagen a day.
Just one container.
Just the container a day. But literally 120 grams a day of collagen.
Yeah, so look at me.
Which
it is full.
Yeah, it was probably a world record of collagen. Okay, I need more glycine, more proline. Let's just dump the collagen on. And then I got a little bit of diarrhea, but besides that, there was no exchange. But then even, I think I even went up to 150 grams at some point.
I did 20, I'm max at 20.
But anyway, I was like, okay, nothing is changing with all this collagen. So it's like not even something in collagen. And so I looked at my blood tests more carefully and saw that all these sulfur amino acids were low. That's cysteine, methionine, and the DHEA sulfate. I've also been trying to get my homocysteine down. It wasn't high, but talking about 10, 11. Now it's at 9 with the, so I take MSN. Mm. And that seems to be one of the key reasons why my family does not exercise to excess, because it wears down, number one, our methylation, and number two, our salt. Mm. And I was just clearly saw through blood tests. And so I said, okay, I need to optimize these markers. And I didn't know how much it's going to change. I took it. Number one is all the joint issues start to go away. Boom, one by one. The tendons, it wasn't joints, it was tendons. The recovery just massively improved. And again, I don't think people are going to get the same results if you have enough sulfur. You might get some results, but they're probably not going to be the same level. Again, so it's like for me, I was doing, my inflammation levels were very low. So there's a lot of things going well for recovery as far as that's concerned. But the one missing item for me for recovery was mostly sulfur, a little more methylation. And the MSM has that. It has a methyl group, it has sulfur. So when I did that, all of a sudden my HOMA went down. My cysteine went up by 7 to 8x, 8x almost. My methionine went up 3x. And my DHEA sulfate went up by 2.5x. So these were theories backed by some science, but was proven. And then the best proof was all of my joints and tendons healed and my recovery. And so the main thing I felt is now I can just exercise as much as I want. Bam. 3.5 hours. I do easy now. No issue. Not sore. No pains. Everybody I'm working out with, even the flyers who are working out much less, they're just like, after an hour and a half, I'm tired, Joe. I can't. My whole body's sore. I'm like, I'm letting it go. I saw my blood test. I was even fighting an infection based on my low iron. And then I also had very slight symptoms. I knew I was fighting something. But I just went the whole week, 3 hours, boom, 3.5 hours. And I was never able to do that in my life. Like when I got sick, knocked out, bam, in bed. So you could see some changes. You asked me before about what are some of the mental changes. Actually, if I take a lot of sulfur and I don't exercise a lot, it actually puts me in a worse. So it was that feeling that when you don't exercise for a day.
You don't have an outlet. You got to have an outlet.
Yeah, it's, you start getting like a little agitated.
It's like a
little
pre-workout and not working out.
Yeah, exactly. You get like a little restless and you're just like sitting down. You're like, wait, I got to do push-ups. I got to go for a run. I got to do stuff. So it makes you a little agitated and a little restless. And if I don't, yeah, I would say that. But also one of the reasons I never, there was like 10 reasons I didn't work out a lot in the past. Yeah, I only started in the past nap. And one of the reasons was because I'd work out and then I'd get home and be like, I don't want to work the rest of the day. I'm like, done. I'm tired. I'm not motivated. With the sulfur and some other things, I'm not saying one thing, but with the sulfur and some other things, now I can just work out. Okay, now I'm ready to work. No problem. It doesn't take away my motivation. And so it's very clear the methylation, number one, and sulfur both were very important for that. And you could see it in my blood tests. You could see it based on how I feel. And I, again, for you, that's not the case. Your DHA sulfate was, I was actually surprised. I'm going to look at your amino acids, but your DHA sulfate was good. Your methylation was good. You're in some ways, maybe not every way, but in some ways you're primed for, you are over methylating. You're over, you have a lot of sulfur. When you work out, it gets rid of that stuff. And then you feel a lot, right? Whereas I was the opposite. People are very different in this approach. So this, just this and everything I've ever learned, it always tells me, like, you can't follow someone else's blueprint and expect to have the same result. We had somebody following somebody's famous regimen, we call it. I looked at his test. I'm like, I didn't even know this. I'm like, what the hell's going on? I thought he was just going crazy, eating whatever he wanted. It really just, he fell off the wagon. I'm like, bro, your blood sugar, everything. I see his history in South Dakota. I could see what was going on. I was like, dude, every one of your markers is getting worse. Your glycerides, you're going up. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I've been following this person's regimen. And I'm like, and he's like, yeah, it's more vegetarian, more carbs. I'm like, stop it right away. This is clearly not meant for you.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so passionate about it, because it's very cool. You guys are EMS sets. I'm not. Are you EMS? Yeah. No. Yeah, it's not like I don't have any health problems. Like, I didn't start with any health problems. It's not like I'm a mutant or anything. Some people are just like mutants. Like, yeah, I drank some shit and I'm fine and everything is good. They're just, and those are very rare people. And usually they start breaking down later in life. But one of the things I've never benefited from grounding or EMS for some reason. I don't know. I would like to understand what it is. So EMS is one of those things where there's not a ton of research, just some. I would say that it seems to be specific to certain people, not everybody.
I know some people that have higher metal levels and you don't have metal levels.
Could be. I have high metal levels.
Yeah, same here. And actually, I won't mention names, but one of my old colleagues actually had mercury levels five times mine, and mine were pretty high, five times my levels. And this person was the most electro-sensitive person I've ever met. Like, for instance, you walk into a room where there was a Wi-Fi router, this person would notice.
That's a great theory. Yeah. That's a great theory.
So you become magnetic. Let's be honest. It's
awesome. Your lead was higher.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a great theory, by the way. It could either be that you have higher metals or you're more sensitive to the metals. And that could be that it does something, interacts with the metals in some way. And maybe I would, if I see that, I mean, I'd like to see that trend more, but
I've seen it probably 30, 40 times.
I've heard it before also.
And I've heard people that have low metal levels just don't even register.
Yeah, people who are not heavy metal sensitive.
People that are, and I've heard this many times.
Yeah, I've done chelation. So I think a way to test that, if you do chelation, when you do chelation, do you feel worse from it?
During the night, I feel fantastic because I'm binding to all of the
content.
And then 48 hours, 72 hours after I finish the round of chelation, I get really moody and like, beyond stress.
Because some of it is recycled.
Because it's
what about you?
Yeah, so if I collate too hard, then I feel that I have to go a little bit heavy. You know.
This is what I love to hear.
It's taken me since 2015 to be able to get above 5 milligrams of valproic acid in my chelation therapy. I can now do 600 and it doesn't affect me like it used
Wow.
to. And the EMF doesn't affect me as much as it used to either.
This is great information because I love to understand how do I know that what works for somebody. If I'm going to have a client and I'm like, oh, how do I know if I should tell this person stay away from EMS or start grounding?
Yeah.
I think this
should be like a biomarker you look at or some, you know, something that you can.
Well, at least I think what they said is number one is you have higher metals. But number two, I think is probably the best test, which isn't a blood test. You just take chelate. I didn't feel from chelators. Like I can take chelators, high doses. I don't feel zero.
I feel like I'm on rocket fuel.
I've taken 3 grams of R alpha lipoic acid and nothing.
I did 5 milligrams. And that's all I could handle for 8 years, like literally for eight years.
You don't feel anything from heavy metal before?
I've never done any chelation. I don't know, my metal levels are normal.
But you've never done chelation. I think that's probably what it is. If you're somebody who's going to be very influenced by heavy metals, either by sensitivity or by, which you can tell from this chelation.
You can actually do the MELISA test as well. MELISA test is a metal sensitivity test.
How do they know?
I don't know how they do it exactly.
That's my hair follicle.
I can't remember how they do it, but MELISA is the gold standard in terms of testing metal sensitivities or allergies.
If I were you guys.
I used to have titanium coils blocking a vein years ago, and I had surgery to have it cut out because I just did a MELISA test. It said that I was super sensitive to titanium and platinum, and there were titanium and platinum coils. Actually, 30 meters of it.
Cool. Oh my God.
When I realized that and I thought this could be contributing towards my health issues, I had the surgery to have it, the whole thing cut out. So I know that I'm metal sensitive. It's a specific one. Some didn't do anything at all, a bit like the food sensitivity, obviously. Some food, so I now know in data that egg whites mess me up, which is from the testing from here.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to avoid egg whites. I've always had the gut feeling of I need to avoid egg whites. That doesn't quite resonate with me.
Understand.
Whereas yolks, I love it and can't get enough. So my senses are tuned to it. That's one of the things that sensitivity tests I really appreciate.
That's really interesting with the whole heavy metals. I think that's something that, it's something. What I would do if I were you guys, I would do a very strong chelation test. And then when you start not feeling good, measure what normal biomarkers are getting at the optimal range, and then see what's changing based on that. If you see, for example, your hCRP is going up or whatever, you want to see what is changing in the body based on this.
I was thinking I'd do this after my next liver flush because liver flush being quite controversial. Some people say it doesn't work. I've seen people that have done 100 flushes and reversed all of their sensitivities, all their allergies, everything.
Right.
And I know that if I do a liver flush, for instance, without any of the binders or any of the hydration stuff, then I feel horrendous for a couple of days and it really can quite heavily. Whereas if I do the right things, then I'm actually flying from it. And in fact, my digestion improves, my energy improves, my hormones seem to be more in line. So I'd really like to do a test to see.
I love to see that. Yeah. These are the kinds of, that's how I would really get a better idea. Some of the things there's no scientific studies on. So you have to. You could have certain theories, but you have to want to test as much as possible to validate them if there's no strong scientific literature. This is an example where I don't know how many studies are there. Someone has heavy metal sensitivities and that kind of stuff. It's not mainstream scientific literature.
That's what biohacking is. N equals one self-explanatory.
But we need to see, meaning somebody could say, I don't feel good. What does that mean in your blood test? We can clearly see you took a blood test.
One day,
3 days later, you did your protocol, 3 days, your heavy metal chelate. You could see what happens to your blood metal, and we could see what happens to all your other markers. Is it going down? Is it going up?
Mm.
If it's changing significantly.
You could do that.
That's what I'm saying. Here. That's why I tell people, do it. I always do it at least twice.
It's interesting to see because I bet a lot of markers would go down because you chelated, right? Mm-hmm. Not only chelating the heavy metal, maybe you're binding other.
But even if it goes up, that could also indicate something very interesting that you might be sensitive and your body's experiencing more inflammation. So then if you have inflammation in a certain way, let's say your hsCRP is higher, then you could know that this is from heavy metal.
I think this is a great idea. Once upon a time, I actually did a protocol, a bioptimosis, believe it or not. Digestive enzyme test where I was necking 150 digestive enzymes a day because I'd read
150 pills?
Yeah, 150 a day.
This guy All right, I'm out of here. And so taking my spot.
I heard that it's really good, for instance, if you have any cysts or anything like that, because it can help digest away literally the cyst tissue or in biofilm. So I was like, okay, I'm going to test this. So I did 150 a day for 2 weeks.
You're basically taking a bottle a day.
Pretty much a bottle a day.
I heard Wade
talk about it on the podcast once and said, you can take as much as you want of these. If you take it on an empty stomach, it'll go systemic and the enzymes will go around and eat the excess proteins in the bloodstream and blah, 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 blah. And then on the forum, I heard about it digesting cyst tissue. My point was, is I took these enzymes and then I got hit after the 2 weeks really hard with chronic fatigue, insane levels of chronic fatigue. I couldn't get out of bed. I went to see my functional medicine doctor and he tested me and I came back positive for toxoplasmosis. Now, the thing is, I hadn't had any exposure to any cats or anything dodgy that would give me toxo, because it generally comes from cats still raw, contaminated meat. However, when I was in Thailand, and this was 5 years before, and I had cysts previously on my liver.
Oh,
and
wow.
After I did this test, after I did this experiment with the biopsized enzymes, and I was re-scanned 6 months later, the cyst had gone, and I'd been hit with toxoplasmosis. So it was almost like it was in my body. It was encapsulated in a cyst. And when I took these enzymes, it broke it down and hit me. And my levels were high of toxo for 9 months, like consistently. My body really struggled to deal with it.
And what did you do?
And no, I just had let my immune system do its thing for toxo and support it in every way I could. Because toxo is once you got it, you got it, and your body deals with it. And most people have had some exposure to it, and it doesn't hit them hard.
You don't get rid of it ever?
No, you always have some level of antibodies to it, and because it's classed as a parasite. Anyway, my point was more throwing a supplement at it, like a chelation agent, that will then lay out some mercury that may affect your immune system or your inflammation levels can be seen as a result. So it could hit your body quite hard. So if you're doing the liver enzyme tests and things like that, it could actually show they are raised because the mercury being moved is causing you issues. Similar to using the enzyme to actually dissolving, so creating more burden for the body, which actually did.
But I would love to see these. You do that 150 pills a day and then do this topper heads of test and seeing what moves. And that would be super interesting.
You just be for the liver. Just do it for the team.
I think with digestive enzymes, I think they're fantastic anyway, the right ones. Just because obviously enzymes are responsible for everything from our eyelids moving to how our liver processes stuff. And so having the right proteolytic enzymes on an empty stomach.
Which ones?
Actually, Bio-Optimizers, they have the proprietary blend as well as the protein and various other, all the different subsets within the group.
But I don't know so much unique about them. I could buy it even. Enzymes, right?
You can, but at the time I researched each and every one of the enzymes in the digestive enzyme stack, and it had the best ratios, higher on some of the more important ones, lower on some of the less important ones. So it's more rounded. So I found that it was pretty much had 30 to 40% more digestive enzyme types in it than the others. So I just found that Bio-Optimizer worked very well for me. There are several other ones, such as Dr. Dom's got one from Sups and Nutrition as well, which is on a par, if not slightly better than the Bio-Optimizers one, because colleagues and friends that have used it don't get their sensitivities from certain foods if they take it with the food. And so I'm a big fan of them. I think it's a super good hack.
That's something I've been exploring in the past few months, digestive enzymes, mainly because my serum total protein was a little lower. So that not low on the normal range. Suboptimal. And so that made me think that maybe digesting all these proteins. So I started taking digestive enzymes. But doing the research, I've come away with Popain, Bromelain, Pancreatin. And these are sold by all companies. So I'm curious myself. I guess I try to look at it. What are these companies providing? It could be a great product, but these companies providing this whole shebang product. Here you go. I want to see individually what is each of these. So I bought them individually, Bromelain, Popain, and the Pancreatin. That's what I'm curious. Which ones do you think individually are working for you?
I think it's a synergistic effect across all of them for me, personally. I found that on their own, the individual ones. I did test 3 or 4 different ones on their own. Didn't really do a great deal.
Okay.
But as an overall stack, maybe it's because I got more issues or had more issues than you do. And my liver gallbladder might be more stressed, therefore not dealing with the right enzymes. Or my diet might not have been good enough and I wasn't having enough food, the right digestive enzymes in it naturally. So it could be a compounding factor of that. And bearing in mind also, I've had a lot of gut issues through my life and a lot of liver stress as well. Yeah. So it could be that just have a lot lower levels across the board than you. And for you, it might be one individual thing. I did that approach actually with my hydration. And when I had frequent urination and I was peeing 30 to 50 times a day, I tried adding
in. That's a lot.
It was insane. I'd drink a cup of tea. And then I'd be straight in the bathroom peeing. And I'd seen pee two or three times the amount that I would be drinking a day. It's just insane. And I was obviously fatigued and things as a result. But the point was, I added in the Celtic sea salt, which helped a little bit, but not a lot. And then I went through minerals one by one, adding it in to see which one helped me retain the water. And for me, potassium. Within 24 hours of adding potassium into my diet, 198 milligrams to be precise, through the urination stop. For the first time in years, I then peed four or five times top.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I think so. That's that individualistic approach of testing each enzyme works. I think it's a great idea, but for some people, you need a full spectrum.
The top hack. Okay. Don't know if you'd call this a hack, but it definitely works for me because I guess I'm one of those people that can be very reactionary. I can be very anxious. I can get overwhelmed very quickly. And I think I found much if you start the day off with good food and not like donuts and stuff like that, you have better blood sugar stability throughout the day. You're not going to get as many cravings. I find I am so much more calmer and mentally stable if I start the day, as I mentioned in the talk the other day, hard stuff, doing things that I don't want to do. I don't always wake up early thinking, man, I really want to just destroy myself in a gym, or I want to jump in the ice bath or take the dog for a walk because it's snowing and pissing down with rain outside. But I force myself to do the hard stuff in the morning because I just find I'm a much better person to be around. If I don't exercise, if I don't have that cold therapy in the morning, if I don't go outside when it's dark and go for the run, I don't feel as good. I don't feel myself. I don't feel I'm as good of a husband. I'm not as good of a friend. I can become a little bit more of a recluse because I'm like, I just want to keep myself to myself now. But I'm a little bit more outward going. We know that squat strength, of course, and grip strength leads to longevity and movement and bone density and muscle to a certain degree. But we have that mid-cingular prefrontal cortex in our brain with two on the sort of left or right hemisphere. And that has shown to actually grow or prevent shrinkage when you do hard stuff, when you do things that you don't want to do. That anterior cingular prefrontal cortex actually shrinks. And the more it shrinks, it leads to the onset of aging much quicker. So as we get older, I think it's more important that we do things that we don't want to do because we're living in a life now where we've got Netflix, Amazon delivers, food gets delivered, we can work from home, and we have to force ourselves, not only just to, okay, I got to just go to the gym and enjoy it, but make it frigging hard. Push it. Like I used to be one of those people that would just do like the 8 to 12 reps, typical bodybuilding split. But now a lot of the time I'm doing 30, 40, 50 reps, if not 100 rep drop sets. Maybe I'll get through a set that requires 50 reps, but I'll reach failure at 30. And now I've got a rest pause to get out to 50. So the more that I suffer during that time, the better I generally feel after. So maybe that workout isn't always productive for aesthetic purposes, but it is for longevity. And from an aspect of, we're talking about heart rate variability, I find that my heart rate variability is much better. It's much higher if I start the day with hard stuff. Of course, there's the other components, prioritizing the sleep, which I do. And if I do go to bed later, but get the same amount of sleep, I find that my heart rate, my HRV does tank. It does tank a lot more. So that's why it's very important that I adhere to my personal circadian rhythm and go to bed early. Like I'm getting pretty tired now, but I guarantee you at 4 a.m. I'll be wide awake and rearing to go. So that's my window where I usually take advantage of doing the hard stuff. And then my blood sugar stability, my mental stability, my HRV is so much better for the rest of the day. And it isn't always just working out. Like I said, it could be dark and raining outside. Do I want to go out? No. When it's snowing outside, do I want to get in the ice bath? No. But I do it. And I force myself to do that.
I think I need to start adopting some of those tactics.
You're doing your acrobatics 11 o'clock at night, mate.
No, but doing hard stuff in the morning. I've heard the concept before, but I feel like that's something that I'm missing from my life right now. everybody focuses on different things. This is something I feel like I should focus on more.
And I think you do more so as you get a little bit older and become a little bit more fragile, because you start to justify complacency a little bit more. So I'm like, there's going to be a time in my life where I'm going to have to be more complacent. So I'm not going to justify it right now. I need to push myself that little bit harder as I get a little bit older.
Have you tried the tryptophan for the mental stability?
Yeah, three times a day. Yeah,
how does it work?
It is better. It is better, because I was taking the 1500 megs before bed thinking it would really help with the sleep. And it does, but I get used to it pretty quick.
Okay.
So I'd like, after 3 days, I adapt. So now I've done exactly what you mentioned to me last year, is do the 555, and that is better.
Do you take any other mood supplements?
I was, but I don't focus on that as much now as just being aware. I'm just very much aware. And I think, you know, going away on a 10-day Vipassana has really helped me. And to focus on releasing that oxytocin and serotonin and being a lot more present, as opposed to worrying about what I've got to do tomorrow and stressing about the past. Just being more aware is really helping me, and being less reactory and looking at, like I said, more so. Yeah, it's been good to hang out, because I'm heading out tomorrow, guys. So we'll have to do it again in maybe July or November, as you said.
Awesome.
All right. Peace out.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
67% of listeners aren't following the show, so please don't forget to show your support by hitting the follow button now. You'll not only be supporting the show, but also investing in yourself and your health journey, all while helping to keep us ad-free.